There are animals hiding out there in the wild right now that are on the verge of becoming mythological, like the long-beaked echidna, the northern hairy-nosed wombat, the golden-rumped elephant shrew. They're the oddballs of the animal kingdom, creatures so bizarre and genetically distinct they're about to slip out of existence altogether. Jonathan Bailey is the lead scientist of the Zoological Society of London and director of its new Edge of Existence program. He told Steve Paulson it's a conservation campaign focused on the world's rarest and most unusual animals.
These are one-of-a-kind species, essentially, and this is why they're so unusual. They tend to be different in the way they look, the way they behave, and their genetic makeup. So I would sort of compare these to things like Machu Picchu or Stonehenge or the Great Wall of China. These are part of our international heritage. We've all been born with this great diversity of species. These are among the most weird and wonderful, and it would be a real shame if we neglected them and didn't ensure that we have these to pass on to the next generation and the generation after that.
Give me a few examples of these species.
Well, the top species on the list is the Baiji, or the Yangtze River dolphin. It's a white-type dolphin. It's virtually blind. There was a survey done recently looking for it, and they didn't find any. Before that, there were just about 10 recorded in the last little while. So we believe that the species may actually now be extinct, and it was our number one species. And this didn't just represent the loss of a species. It represented the loss of an entire family.
So what are some of the other animals that are at the top of your list?
Well, I've just come back. The number two species is the long-beaked echidna. Now, it looks like a hedgehog, an enormous hedgehog with a long beak. It's an egg-laying mammal. It's one of five monotremes, the one we're focusing on, which is Attenborough's echidna. They're kind of amazing creatures. Their arms come out of the side of their body a little bit, and they have a reptilian gait when they walk. Just so different from everything else. They probably diverged, monotremes diverged from other groups about 150 million years ago. So if you think about 150 million years of independent evolutionary history, and the species we were focusing on had only been known from one specimen collected in 1961 at 1,600 meters in the Cyclops Mountains.
Where are the Cyclops Mountains?
So the Cyclops Mountains are in Papua, which is just beside Papua New Guinea, just above Australia. It was a remarkable place to visit. It's truly one of the last wilderness areas that hasn't been explored. The mountains I climbed into hadn't been visited in 45 years.
That must have been an amazing experience. How do you go about looking for an animal like this that is so rare?
Well, the first step is just to build on local knowledge. We went to the different communities at the base of the Cyclops Mountains and talked to villagers, and the first thing we discovered is that it had a local name, which is Payenko. And then we heard some of the cultural stories about the echidna. We discovered that in the past, when there was a conflict between two people in the village, this could really be solved if one person caught an echidna and they ate it together. So it was kind of a peace symbol for the village, though not good for the echidna. And then we came to another village where they'd killed them quite recently, as recent as 2005. And we went to the areas where they had seen them in the past, which is very unusual for echidnas. They're not usually found at such low elevation in the area where we identified that they'd been feeding. And they have a very distinct way of feeding because they have this long beak, and they basically probe it into the ground, and it leaves a print of their head. So you see the beak, and then often you see the top of the head also. So it's very clearly echidna marks, and they also have burrows and so on that we identified. So it was very exciting to find that Attenborough's echidna, after 45 years, was still roaming through the Cyclops Mountains.
Now, did you actually find one of these echidnas yourself?
Well, echidnas, they're nocturnal. They burrow during the day. They're virtually impossible to find. Tim Flannery, who's an amazing biologist who worked in the region for 15 years doing surveys, came across them once. So we didn't actually see the echidna, but if you're working in a rainforest, finding their tracks and areas where they've been feeding and stories from the local villagers as to where they hunted them and ate them is pretty compelling evidence that the species is still there. We're going to go back, actually, and set camera traps, which are, you know, you set them on a tree and they trigger when an animal walks by and takes an image of the species.
Do the local people tend to feel like they have any stake in trying to save these species from extinction?
Well, having come back from Papua, the people who lived at the base of the mountain were thrilled to hear that this echidna was only found in their mountain range, the Cyclops. And they really care about the environment. They've grown up almost, you know, within the bounds of nature. And they are very keen to be involved and assist in any way that they can. So we couldn't have a more receptive audience. Now, that may not be the case everywhere, but certainly we're finding that the local communities are very receptive.
What is it like for you to go on one of these expeditions? I mean, beyond just the science, that sort of the amazing aspect of looking for these incredibly rare and unusual animals, but does it touch you at some deeper level?
Well, you know, being in conservation and trying to conserve species in an environment where, you know, our population is growing rapidly, our consumerism is going up, we have global warming, and many, many things that don't look so great. So it can get you down once in a while. But to go out and get involved with young scientists in different countries and raise awareness for species that would otherwise be left to go extinct and see where you're actually having an impact. And getting in the forest and experiencing the wildlife and, you know, getting up to the top of these mountains where they're just covered in ferns and tree ferns and moss and a complete damp clouds moving through. It's very magical, and that really inspires you to continue to try and get involved and try and encourage other people to care about these wonderful animals.
Jonathan Bailey is the lead scientist at the London Zoological Society and founder of the Edge of Existence program. EDGE stands for Evolutionarily Distinct and Globally Endangered.